If you're ready to get out of your own way to follow the seven-figure science of success, then welcome to Sell Without Selling. Tune in with renowned international speaker Stacey O'Byrne as she shows you how mastering relationships, achieving the proper mindset, and attaining the necessary motivation will catapult you away from failure and onto your journey to greatness. And now, here is your host, Stacey O'Byrne.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Sell Without Selling. I'm your host, Stacey O'Byrne, and I believe that learning the art and the science of how to sell without selling is the only way to achieve high six and seven figure success. I am so excited to dig into this episode today with you. And really quick, if you're a business owner, entrepreneur, or sales professional, and you haven't hit the level of success that you've wanted or needed, or if you're stuck and needing a pivot in your business and your success, or you just want more, and you understand the importance of having a coach to help identify the blind spots, increase accountability, and help with success strategies to take you, your business, your income, and your success to the next level. If this sounds like something for you, then head over to pivotpointadvantage.com/iwantsuccess. That's pivotpointadvantage.com/iwantsuccess. There's a quick application there that will lead to a phone call with us to see if we're a great fit for each other. Okay, let's do this. You know, I get asked time and time again how I have built 2 7-figure businesses and 6 6-figure businesses, and specifically how I built my first one. And, you know, I lean into a lot about mindset. I lean into a lot about communication and selling without selling. Reality is, my success has derived from my ability to lean into relationships and generate relationships. As a matter of fact, my first book, Secrets to Becoming a Master Networker, I laid out everything I did from a networking perspective, from a relationship perspective, to build my first 7-figure business. So I wanted to share with you guys some of the strategies and processes that I did to really lean into and leverage small business networking, professional networking, and relationships, knowing that today we have the ability and the abundance to do more. Because yes, you can still do offline, and now we have online, and between virtual networking and live face-to-face networking and networking available to us on social media, I'll share with you some of the things that I did to really leverage my representation, my feet on the street, which really helped me lean into being able to sell without selling. So first and foremost, it was to understand what the value of networking is, what networking really is. Networking isn't about showing up and spraying and praying and showing up and throwing up and net selling, net socializing, net visiting. Networking is about coming in with a plan, being clear on who you want to meet, who you get to meet, who you should meet, having an understanding of who shares the same prospective client as you, the same avatar, the same target market. And I really despise that word, because I believe that nobody should go around with a target on themselves. Networking is about strategically building value-based relationships with people who share the same future prospective client as you, and they don't compete with you. In order to do that, it's really important to understand who masters networking. Because, you know, there are people that really know how to work networking, and there are people who don't work it the way it should or could. When you go to a networking meeting, who do you go to meet? How do you go to meet? It's about understanding you as a human. You know, I knew early on in my networking days that I am a die-hard introvert. It is my responsibility to hold up a wall so that it doesn't come crumbling down. And I am far from an extrovert or a social butterfly. So for me, I had a very specific strategy that allowed different types of people to come up to me. You know, person number one was the sprayer and prayer, the showing up and throwing up, the person that, you know, wanted me to pick a card, any card. You know, they were showing up to sell. They were targeting me. And then the other person was somebody who was well established. I was new. They didn't know me. They were about connecting and building relationships, and they would come up and introduce me to them. And then they would turn around and introduce me to people that they knew. So it's important for you to understand your strengths. What are you good at? What are you not good at? What do you like? What do you dislike? What are your weaknesses? When you understand that, then you'll have clarity on how you're going to show up, and then you can leverage it. See, my weakness was my lack of being a social butterfly, my lack of being an extrovert, which really, from the standpoint of how I leveraged networking, worked for me, not just against me. It allowed me to get to meet the people who were connected because they wanted to connect and then introduce me to people that they knew. And for the people that showed up just spraying and praying and showing up and throwing up, it allowed my introvertedness to be a filter. It's really important for you to know, understand who you are when nobody's looking. Because who you are when nobody's looking is who you should be when everybody's looking. See, one of the mistakes people make is when they go out in public, they wear a mask. They show up like people expect them to show up. They show up like they think people want to see them or need to see them. Reality is, when you show up any other way than what's congruent to you, you show up incongruent. And when you show up incongruent, people don't know who you are or how you are. All they know is something doesn't feel right. And because something doesn't feel right, they don't connect with you, or they get reluctance with you. And that hinders that know, like, and trust factor. So take a look at who you are when nobody's watching. And then be aware of who you are when everybody's watching, and make sure you're that same person. Learn, understand what value your business has to offer to networking. Do you deal with high income earners? Do you deal with mass volume? Do you deal with a specific demographic, socioeconomic? Do you deal with business to business or business to consumer? See, when you understand what value you bring, you then understand your value to potential future relationships. Is it volume? Is it depth? Is it transactional? Is it high end? Is it gender-based, socioeconomic-based, geographic-based, international-based? What value do you bring? What value does your business offer? It's really important for you to learn how to research a meeting or event before you attend it. Sometimes the only way we can really figure out what an environment is like is to immerse ourselves into the environment temporarily to just see the type of people that attract. However, because of technology, because of being online, you can really do a lot of that without utilizing a finite resource of time. So what I mean by that is, look online. See who their members are. See what industries they're in, what categories they represent. Is there synergy in the categories that are represented in the organization? is there room for potential strategic power partners, for potential strategic relationships? Does it lean heavily on what your focus is, or does it lean heavily on an opposite focus? When you understand the industries that the group attracts, when you understand the people that the group attracts, then you can quickly filter through there. Is there anybody in there that I know? Who's in there that I don't know? Call the leadership. Find out what attendance is like. Find out when their well-attended meetings are. Find out when their small, intimate meetings are. You can thrive in both. They're just both very different strategies. It's important for you to really lean into what types of organizations are most productive to attend and join in order to increase your return on investment. So for me, leaning into first and foremost a category specific, a category exclusive group made sense because I got to surround myself with people who were showing up for the same reason as I was, and that was to get to know each other, understand what it is your future prospective clients' needs, wants, and desires are so that they knew what to look for, what to listen for, and how to refer to you, what a good client was, what a dissatisfactory client was, what a strong power partner is. Category exclusive environments, they do come with a commitment. And you're surrounding yourself with people who are willing to make that same commitment. You know, after that, I leaned into two or three demographic specific groups. Because people who are like you will like you. People who have similar interests to you or similar demographic matching to you will know, like, and trust you faster. People do business with people who they know, like, and trust. And people will know, like, and trust those who are like them quicker. Then from there, I would absolutely join and support my local chambers of commerces, because a lot of people confuse the fact that they're there for small business networking and connecting. And reality is, they're there to accommodate small business law, and they represent the small businesses in the community, and they offer networking as a value offered benefit. So chambers of commerce represent small business legislation, and they have a value add of networking. It's important for you to be represented and have a voice in the community in case anything is coming up that could impact your way of doing business. And then my last strategy was cattle call networking. These are the expos, the large events to where, you know, hundreds of people pack themselves in a room and it becomes a, for lack of a better description, a poker event where everybody's passing out cards. They're spraying, they're praying, they're showing up, they're throwing up, they're doing everything they can to make a massive amount of connections. This requires a very specific strategy. You know, depending on what type of networking environment that you insert yourself in will determine the strategy that you use to arrive or depart. You know, when I'm in a small, intimate networking environment, whether it's category exclusive, demographic specific, or even a smaller chamber of commerce meeting, because I'm an introvert, I will go in early. And, you know, I'll help the volunteers or leadership set up. This allows me to acclimate as bodies come in, as energy comes in. And what happens is, because I'm there early, people will come up and say hi, they'll introduce themselves. With a large event, one of those cattle call networking events, I'm going to go with a group of people, strategic referral partners. And we're going to show up a little late so that we come in as a group and we break through that energy and make an impact. And then our strategies to really work the room are very different. We kind of deploy, we divide and conquer, and then we make a plan to introduce very specific industries to each other so that we're cutting through the masses of the energy. I lovingly coin this as gang networking. There are three very specific people that you get to meet, need to meet at networking events. You know, first is the leadership. You want to meet the president, vice president, and treasurer of the group. They know everybody. You know, the second type of person you want to meet is the ambassador, the visitor host, because they know a lot of people too, and they're going to make introductions. And then the last person is the master networkers. You really want to ask the previous two, who's well-connected? Who's the center of influence? Who's the master networker in the group? And ask them to introduce you. When you meet these three bodies, the impact that it has towards your business, to your business, is exponential. You know, a lot of people confuse the networking environment as the relationship building environment. It isn't. That networking environment is the connection process. This is where you get to filter. This is where you get to sift and sort potential casual referral partners versus a potential strategic referral partner. And your follow-up strategy is going to be very different for both. The casual referral partner, you know, you're going to meet them, spend a few minutes with them, and then disengage with, I look forward to seeing you again at another event. There are a lot of people here that we both get to meet. I look forward to running into you again. Keep in touch with me. Let me know where you're going to network at. Then that potential strategic partner, you meet with them for a few minutes. And then again, deploy. I want to respect your time. And there's a lot of people here that we both still get to meet. I wanted to know if you were okay if I followed up with you within the next day or so, so that we could schedule a call to discuss how we can work together in a sales-free zone to where we both agree that we will not sell to each other and avoid selling with each other. And that way, when you follow up with them, you can then schedule the call. And in some cases, people are open to doing the call now. And if they start that sales pitch, you can remind them of what it is they agreed with. And that was a sales-free zone. Have you ever met that Barney networker? The I love you, you love me. Hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do all of this, and then they lack the follow through. And then next time you see them, they do it all over again. And fast forward, you really want to avoid rocking the boat with this person, as well as avoid losing time with this person. Those Barney networkers, people know who they are. And they're also really nice people. So people like them. They just kind of eye roll when the person says, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this. And then they don't do any of it. So for you, you want to be nice, stay nice with the Barney networker without losing, wasting time. You know, when you're out there networking, you want to have a potential strategic partner management plan. You want to have an agreement with both parties as to how they're going to show up in the relationship, what you're willing to do in the relationship, and how you can help serve each other with the relationship. For me, I always tracked my relationships because reciprocity was important, is important to me. And I wanted to make sure what I was receiving, I was delivering. Now, look, there are some cases where I would give 10 times the referrals as somebody was giving me. And it's just by the sheer nature of the amount of people I was meeting because of the frequency that I networked. And my expectation wasn't that they matched my volume. My expectation was that they matched my drive and tenacity and reciprocity. You know, if I was actively connecting them with people that they were telling me that they needed to get to know, wanted to get to know, and I wasn't receiving anything from them for an extended period of time, the fact that I was tracking it presented the opportunity for me to discuss it. So just like you have a marketing plan, just like you have a business plan, just like you plan your day or it plans you, you want to have a strategic partner management plan so that you both understand each other's expectations. You both understand what you bring to the table, what it is you can offer each other, and how it is you can offer it, how frequently you want to meet, who your intended connections are. Because up front, when you're building that relationship, you know who good connections will be for the other person. Speak it out. Hold accountability to it. It's also important for you to have a commercial strategy. You know, we can learn a lot from watching, listening, and learning from the big boys. Watch how commercials are delivered if you watch TV. What is your commercial strategy? It's important for you to understand the seasonality of your industry. Every industry has a season. What's the seasonality of your industry? You want to be delivering your commercials 3 to 4 months before the season starts. Because remember, you are planting seeds. It's important for you to plant the seeds so that as we are moving into the season, people start hearing the needs, the wants, and desires before the season hits, because then they can connect you to the need, want, and desire before they go out, they being the future prospective client, and find a solution on their own. If you start delivering your commercials when you have a need for the client and you're in the heart of the season, then reality is, it's too late. Your future prospective client is already in engagement with possible solutions. And by the time your strategic power partner, your casual power partner, runs into the potential referral, it's too late. It's also important to avoid discriminating between the casual referral partner and the strategic referral partner. Do you know some of my largest referrals have come from casual power partners, people that don't even share the same target market as I do? However, the people that they ran into, the people that they knew, liked, and trusted, and who knew, liked, and trusted them, were in conversation with them and they realized, I know a solution. My steady referrals always came from my strategic referral partners. My casual referral partners always gifted me with a big, shocking referral. So how do you convert your meanings to money? It's simple. Stop selling. Start educating. Go in with a strong foundation your mindset, your plan, who you're seeking from a strategic partner standpoint, what you're going to do in the meeting and how you're going to do it. And then when you exit that meeting, put together a follow-up plan, not a spam plan. The people that you said you were going to call and follow up with, call and follow up with, to have a call to see if there's synergy in potentially strategizing and partnering. The only way you can network without selling is to know your business, know your prospective client, know your referral partners, and avoid desperation. Everything I shared with you just now is how I built my first seven-figure business. It's how I got Les Brown to write the foreword to my book, Secrets to Becoming a Master Networker. I was very clear on my ask. I was very clear in upping my ask and removing my butt. I was very clear on the value I offered and the value that I was seeking. You want different results, do something different. Now, everything I said was from an offline perspective. You can apply it all to online. I can't begin to tell you all the spraying and praying and the bait and switches of, oh, I'd love to connect with you, get to know you, and see if we can work together as referral partners. Who would you like to know in my network, and I can share with you who I'd like to know in your network, then you connect with them and all of a sudden it's buy from me, buy from me, buy from me, buy from me. That's not connecting. That's selling. And when you bait and switch it and with from the pretense of wanting to connect, build a relationship and networking, the only thing you're doing is turning them off. Relationships can be built. Now, am I saying that you can't sell? I'm not saying that. I understand that we need to hunt while we farm. What I'm saying is be transparent, congruent, authentic in your approach. Because when you approach it from the bait and switch, it's always going to bite you in the ass. Your success is important to me, and it's also important to me to make sure that these episodes are valuable to you and for you. I would love for you to do three things right now. First, I'd love for you to head over to Facebook and join our Sell Without Selling community. That's head over to Facebook and join our Sell Without Selling community. Second, I'd love for you to hop over to Instagram and follow us at Pivot Point Advantage. Let's hop over to Instagram, follow us at Pivot Point Advantage. And second, I'd love to chat with you and get feedback on the episodes and find out any topics that you're interested in to help make these episodes more powerful and helpful to you achieving the success that you've always dreamed of, desired, and know you deserve. Head over to pivotpointadvantage.com/talktostacy. That's pivotpointadvantage.com/talktostacy. Let's get a 15-minute call on the schedule. Always remember this. Choice is a powerful thing, and suffering is always optional. Get out of your way so you can get on your way, so you can finally have your way. Thanks so much for listening, and I look forward to talking with you soon.
Whether it's mastering your mindset, communication, or success, we have more ways to keep you on your journey to greatness. Be sure to visit us at pivotpointadvantage.com for exclusive online training programs, success-specific courses, and more ways to connect to Stacy directly to help you achieve the financial success you've always desired, dreamed, and deserved. That's all available on pivotpointadvantage.com.